Hey, friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. You have an epic morning. I'm in a mood this morning. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I found some more stuff I've been digging into about our communities, about our areas. I had a lot of people contact me about stuff going on in Lake Wales. That's why. So I started digging more.
Well, they had a big fight at the doggone city commission meeting.
Well, the police
were called.
This has been a doggone Lakeland Ledger.
There you go.
They came in now, and they basically said, where was it, right here? They said the residents, essentially, they had to bring security in because the residents are getting so mad because essentially the developments are causing lack of drinking water for many residents now. The public works are starting to fail over there. They're having issues with lift stations. And then I did a little more digging. Sure enough, another major home builder bought 4,100 acres last month in Lake Wales, right down 60. And I started looking it up, and I was like, the same Richland communities. You keep hearing Richland communities.
Get ready, guys.
Well, then I pulled up Richland. Who owns Richland Communities? Richland Communities is owned by Richland Investments. Well, who the heck owns Richland Investments?
Deep Pockets.
And Deep Pockets go to the bottom, the top AI-listed shareholder of Richland Resources and Richland Investments is BlackRock.
Unbelievable.
They bought, so far, I think they bought either 15 or 20,000 acres down in Lake Wales.
Klaus Schwab wasn't kidding. See, here's the problem that you run into. When you have a group of people that are owned by the international banking communities that print currency, that print digits and dashes on a screen, they have unlimited amounts of money. I mean, literally, it's unlimited.
Well, here's the problem. So say we want to block all this. So say we all round up everybody in the community.
More help.
Hire a couple attorneys.
More help.
They just out-attorney you.
They do.
You get four or five attorneys on it. You spend a copious amount of money. They put 500 attorneys on it that are already on retainer for BlackRock because that's what they do. And they just bury you.
Yeah, years ago, I had some friends that were involved with an easement dispute.
Yep, I remember that.
Remember that? And the one homeowner basically had a road through his yard, and that one own homeowner got tired of people turning around in the yard.
Yep.
So he decided he's going to put a gate up and give everybody access. Well, the people down the road from the gate decided they didn't want to have a gate. They had no choice because the person owned the road.
Yep.
Everybody owned their own road in front of their house. And so some of the neighbors decided they were going to go ahead and do something unscrupulous. And one of the neighbors actually signed a quit claim deed against the road. Now, you think we're making this up or not? And what ended up happening is it ended up going to court to the attorneys, went on for 5 years. Title insurance companies got involved because somebody barricaded the property. Before it was over with, about $250,000 was spent over a five-year period.
With the insurance companies.
And then what ended up happening is the homeowner finally got the gate and everything he needed to have, but the problem was it cost $250,000. So you're right.
That was just an easement dispute.
Over six neighbors. I know.
You start going in a dispute over 10, 20, 30,000 acres have been bought up by this gigantic Richland investment company. Oh, boy. You just open your pocketbook up.
Well, and that's exactly.
Like Amazon they're planning on putting in.
Well, that's exactly what's happened. And what's happening is if you look at it real deeply, you'll find that the Masonic Lodge people are involved in all of this.
On the city commissioner and county commissioner.
Yep, you'll find out. And you'll find out also that these people always vote for the people in the Masonic Lodges. They can't vote against each other.
Here's the problem that I don't understand. And maybe you listeners, you guys could write me on this because nobody's been able to explain me this from any of the commissioners. How is it that every single city commissioner and basically county commissioner meeting that I've gone to, the vast majority of the people on the board have some connection in either real estate, commercial, or residential in some way, shape, or form?
Invariably. Probably 75%. Yep.
I haven't figured that out yet. So they're involved in some way of real estate, but yet they're sitting there voting on more real estate being put in that's going to be lucrative and financially beneficial for them, and there's no conflict of interest.
There is a conflict of interest.
That's the point.
Don't care. Well, the biggest thing you run into with all of this stuff is, you know, you've got to ask yourself a question. How long has the United States been controlled with Masonic Lodges? You know, George Washington, when he was in his inauguration with the Capitol building and all stuff, he had a huge party, basically a parade, walking down the main street in Washington, D.C., in full Masonic regalia. I mean, they were all dressed up in their little uniforms and aprons and all the rest of it. And, you know, the country was basically put together as a country by the Masonic Lodges. And in these smaller towns, in these counties, if you keep looking deep enough, in almost every single case, it's been controlled by the Masonic Lodges for over 100 years. We've seen that over and over and over. I know that we had a big tract of property got sold here a few years ago. And, you know, and some people were looking at it. They tried to buy it. Well, they couldn't buy it because the property is being sold to another Masonic Lodge leader because the person was a Masonic Lodge person, and they all stay together. Now, I have to give them credit for that. They are a pretty tight group. But the problem is when they get to that 30th degree ritual, they have to basically pledge their loyalty to Lucifer. Now, a lot of these lower-level Masons, they have no idea what they're involved in. It's kind of a social group for them, and they enjoy just being part of the Masonic Lodges and going down and having buddies and you hang out with, et cetera.
It's networking. It's what they do.
And remember, it was a giant networking system before we had the internet, before we had LinkedIn, before we had anything. That's how they networked, and that's how the doctors got businesses and all the other things in their practices. They had networked with Masonic Lodge leaders who basically told their people to go ahead and start frequently in the doctor's offices. And so that's what happened, and that's why these community leaders got involved in all this stuff. The other day, I mean, there was a sign up in Lake Alpha where you saw it.
I saw it.
It said, you know, your father was a Mason, your grandfather was a Mason, you need to become a Mason. A billboard here in our county. And because what they want to do, they want to replenish the ranks and have younger people come in so they can continue to control the county boards.
That's what they do. They control the areas.
But I was told by a former county commissioner here in Polk County, and I've said this before on the air. I won't mention his name because I've known the guy for 40 years. I remember he said to me, I saw him at the car wash a couple of years ago when we were fighting that warehouse stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, we had got it through the planning commission. We got it stopped, remember?
Yep.
And then it was going to go before the city council.
Yep.
And I remember he told me, I told him who was involved in it. He goes, oh, if they're involved in it, it doesn't matter if every single person in Polk County shows up at the hearing and votes against it, they will have it put through.
It doesn't even matter if you get attorneys basically get injunctions in court. It'll get overridden eventually.
Well, remember, they had the attorneys show up for the doggone meeting. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then what was funny is Austin and I are in there, and, you know, we weren't being mean or anything else, but we were being very direct. We even never even talked about the Masonic Lodges, and we were very careful. We said, why are you guys doing this? The next time we had the meeting, they had the police standing behind me in Austin.
Yes. That's not exaggerated.
And the cop looked at us and says, we're here for you. He said that to us. And I said, for what? He goes, well, we have to make sure that the meeting has proper decorum. I said, what are you talking about?
And then I never screamed. I never cussed. I never acted a fool at any of the meetings at all. I was just very direct.
But they were there for me in Austin.
And I did bring up the question, why is it that I keep finding everybody involved in these commissioner meetings is constantly involved in real estate, yet you're constantly voting on more development going through with zero infrastructure. Right? Anyways.
Anyhow, so the next time we had another meeting, which is a useless waste of time, I told Austin, you know, I'm about done with this. I didn't go. Austin went up there and basically did his thing again, and nothing changed. And we now have many warehouses a half mile from the house, and we didn't want them. But I will say one thing, because we raised such cane about it, they're actually the nicest mini warehouses I've ever seen.
They actually had to. Well, they kept getting – we pretty much told everybody, you're only getting voted out. Commissioners, we're getting voted out. If you allow this to go through, because what they originally were putting through,
they were going to be orange and green.
That we did get the low density stop from getting. There was an area 65 acres. They wanted to make it upgraded from a low density to medium density in an area that was already.
Oh, it was going to go from like two houses, three house breakers, six or seven houses. Oh, and here's the funny. And then they said in the meeting, oh, but we're not planning on doing this. Remember that? Oh, we're not going to do this. It's a straight lie. Yes, of course they were going to do that. The problem was is that we raised so much cane, they stopped that.
Yeah.
Because we said, no, we don't have the road structure for that. And so, guys, listen to me. Get involved in all of your county commission and city commission meetings. And call these guys out if you want. Ask them if they're Masonic Lodge members.
Dude, hey, here's the thing, guys. They're public figures. Public record. You can find out who they are, what their businesses are, what they're involved in. I promise you, you start doing a little digging on these commissioners, you're going to find invariably vast majority of them are tied into real estate interest all around the area.
And that's why Klaus Schwab said, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. He wasn't joking, because he controls BlackRock indirectly through the international banking cartels. Remember, everything runs through money. Everything has to run through cash flow. Everything has to run through fiat currency.
Yep.
When they have the ability to print as much as they want, an off-book balance sheet. Remember when they asked Bernanke, you know, you guys have sent out $17 trillion. Where did it go?
I don't know. I don't remember.
What kind of... He knew that he was beyond the law because the Federal Reserve was not controlled by the United States of America. It's the international banking community. He knew that. That's what he said. I don't have to answer your questions. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, Ron Paul got a partial audit. That's the only reason we found out that they had, quote, misplaced $17 trillion.
Yeah, they slammed the book shut.
And remember what they do with these banks. It's a 40-to-1 reserve ratio. So if they have $1 million on deposit, they can loan out or make out of thin air another $39 million. They can loan out $40 million on the $1 million. That's fractional reserve currency, and it's a complete scam. If you
you and me and Austin, if we did something like that, we'd go immediately to jail because of a Ponzi scheme. They say, oh, you're running a Ponzi scheme. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Straight to jail for you. And you're like, but you guys do it all the time. That's because we're bankers and we're above the law. You go, that doesn't seem fair.
They always use the excuse. Well, that's how you don't understand how the monetary system works.
I understand exactly how it works.
No, they say, you don't understand how it works. I understand exactly what
most bankers don't know how it works.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, on the health topic, thank you again for the emails. I got a lot of response from yesterday's show. You guys saw we put up the photo for yesterday. Everybody liked this one. I think
we
put this together.
No, we did not. I haven't seen this. We did not do this.
Michael Baird did this.
Why couldn't we do the other cat photo?
This was a little bit better. You know, it wasn't dry and short.
Okay. Have you got the other cat photo?
I haven't.
I'm pulling up the other cat photo. I'm going to show the other cat photo. We're going to do cats.
We got enough help. They've already seen enough cats. I just want to show the podcast thing.
No, I'm going to show the cats.
I showed him yesterday. We're not doing the crazy cat photo.
Oh, I'm doing the crazy cat photo.
Anyways, this is a crazy story right now. This is wild. Moderna pulls application.
Rich, give me that center cat.
The cat we found is a lot better than that one.
Okay. This is not what we saw when we pulled the kitten out of the thing.
No, that's horrible.
Okay, but this is what should have been on the podcast thing for Michael. I have to send this to him.
No, that's way better.
Oh, no, this is a much better shot
right here.
That's
a horrible photo. Gosh, give me a headache. His eyes are so big. But, yeah, everybody's enjoying that. So the cats are off to a good home. They're doing good. And lots of interesting news stories that we're covering this week. Hope you guys are getting ready for wild shows. It's already started off funny.
this feral cats.
Well, going back, this is Moderna now is pulling its application for their FDA approval of the flu COVID RNA shot after the FDA calls for new clinical trials. This is crazy. This kind of shows you that Moderna has been doing a little hanky-panky with this vaccine and not really doing what they were supposed to do. Moderna said they're completely withdrawing their application for the RNA combination flu COVID-19 vaccine. According to First Biotech, the company will resubmit an application when data from a phase 3 trial is complete with a component of the combined shot are available later this year. So this is the funny part. They sent the application for full approval from the FDA without any finalization from any clinical trials being finished. They had first phase. You guys aren't going to approve this. We'll do phase 2 and phase 3 now, the clinical trials, to actually see if it works and if it's safe. If everybody's talking,
guess what? Phase 1 didn't work.
Well, no, this was crazy to me. The fact that they yanked it back and they said, by the way, we're going to retract our request to have it approved now. We're going to start doing some more testing. That shows me that there's a lot of stuff going on with the shot. And why in the world is the FDA even considering a combination recombinant flu RNA or flu COVID RNA gene therapy shot?
I know the answer.
Pick you.
Okay, pick me. They want to change our DNA because they're being controlled by something other than humans, and they want to change us. You think, well, no, they're not. Not all of them. Well, not all of them. I got that, okay? But the reality is the people that run the planet, the entities that run the planet, don't like you because you're in God's image, and they got to change you. And if they can destroy your immune system, they can reduce your population density because there's too many of us on the planet now. They don't need as many in their feeding trough because they consume our energy. So they've got to reduce the population of the planet by hook or by crook or by DNA changes. This is exactly what they did in Genesis chapter 6 when every thought of every man was evil, and they bred us with Nephilim, and they bred us with the fallen angels. They changed our DNA. And we were no longer human. It's funny how history repeats itself like this often.
It is. Dr. Joseph Sansone is litigating to prohibit RNA products in Florida. He said he wants more stringent action from public health agencies needed. This is essentially experimental technology that's never been tested long-term ever, like actual long-term. And now we're doing combined vaccines.
Remember back in the ferret cat studies that were done by DARPA?
Back in
20
teens.
Over 20 years ago, yeah. No, about 2003, 2004.
Was that early?
20 years ago, they were doing the mRNA. It was a super soldier program. they're trying to change your DNA or a super soldier's DNA to make you faster, quicker.
Right. It was like CRISPR 9.
It's like the Bourne TV broadcast. Yes. Okay. It was based on that super soldier program. And what ends up happening is they found out that every single cat and every single ferret that was tested trying to change their DNA, they all died of sepsis. They all died. And say, this won't work. We can't do this. Well, but what do? They put it together anyhow, and they start producing billions of doses of mRNA vaccines to be able to cross into the lipid nanobarrier of the cell wall to tell the nucleus to start replicating spike proteins, which was completely anti-science. It wasn't supposed to do that. And then we had the one guy from Harvard, Lieber, came in, gave them the technology. His father had worked with the satellite systems and all the different stuff that had happened with Roswell and the retro engineering, and they were able to pass using nanotechnology and start creating these cells to start replicating in your body. Yes, sounds like something out of a dawn alien movie. It sounds like that movie Alien, where the little thing sticks on your face and puts an embryo inside of you, and you change and turn into something different. Well, that's kind of what they want here, I guess. And now they're trying to put it in our food, Austin. They're trying to put it in our vegetables. They're trying to inject it into cows. So we eat it. Because the problem is, God made our DNA so good, so developed, because it's in his image. It constantly restores itself through the blood of Jesus. Just thought I'd mention that to you if you haven't heard the show before. I got a whole show on that. That they don't know what to do because they thought they were going to kill a whole lot more people with those vaccines, Austin, than they did.
Yep.
They killed a boatload. They did a bunch of, especially with the boosters, but they were not able to kill enough. And that's why they're doing it over and over and over again, because they're trying to, we're in a petri dish. Whatever this planet is, I don't really think it's a planet. I think it's more of a realm. Whatever it is not something that, you know, we had a choice on. We were put here along with these things. And so we have to prove who we're going to be loyal to. And I choose God Almighty. As far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Most High God, period. And whatever these entities are that run around trying to rule us and do these horrible things to us, they still are subject to the name of Jesus. And that's why this is interesting. If a person's in an alien abduction, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to say that is, and they're taken out of their homes or whatever, and they're put in some place else, if they call in the name of Jesus, they're put back. That's what's interesting about this, because they know that if you call in the name of Jesus, they don't want him showing up, and they'll put you back. So it's that power, that name of Jesus, that changes everything. It changes the fabric of space times, because Jesus created the heavens and the earth. We got to understand all that. I've done whole shows on that, so a lot of you guys will. Can you go into detail? I go into detail on different shows.
What's crazy about this, because I was trying to find a couple of these old articles, you know, the FDA, they admitted, this is 2018, that they approved Onpattro, which is an infusion drug that was RNA gene therapy to work with people that are basically having this hereditary, HATTR in adult patients. It was the first FDA-approved drug with RNA gene therapy treatment. And what's crazy is every time they bring this up, it's constantly referred to as a drug. RNA treatment, drug. Never was RNA gene therapy even referenced as a vaccine until COVID hit. Suddenly, it's not a drug anymore. Suddenly, it's a vaccine. But suddenly, nobody bothers to do the research to realize there was no vaccine and there is no vaccine. It was gene therapy.
Well, and I mentioned a second ago, they started producing billions of these vaccines. They're not vaccines. It's mRNA drug therapy is what it is. And it's not a vaccine. And what ended up happening is they had to stockpile these things in sub-zero temperatures, like 270 degrees below zero, so they wouldn't degrade. And that's how they were able to produce. That's why they had 4 billion of these things in available. They injected 4 billion people on the planet with this stuff. Some people say up to 5 billion. You can't produce 5 billion vaccines in a couple of years. It doesn't work that way.
New class of drugs called RNAs act as messengers within the body cells, carrying instructions from DNA controlling the synthesis of protein. Since its discovery in 1998, scientists used RNA interference as a tool to investigate gene function. Listen, researchers at the NIH, for example, have used robotic technology to introduce RNA into human cells to individually turn off nearly 22,000 genes.
Remember, this is 98. Remember, the super soldier program was 2001 to 2005.
Notice, no reference to vaccines or immunizations at all. New class of drug. So I just want to throw that out there for you guys. So everybody's kind of curious what they're coming up with these shots now and all this other stuff.
Oh, by the way, a huge fireball after a plane crashes into a quiet San Diego neighborhood. Now, let me share something with you. This was a 550 Cessna. This was a Citation II jet. I have flown this plane. I haven't flown it. It's an eight passenger. I have flown it. I have been in the captain's seat. You think, well, I can't believe you're certified on jets. A lot of things we just don't talk about here. Okay. But I've flown this plane. I had a friend of mine who was actually on a test flight with it. He let me join him in the left seat. And I took off with it. I flew it. Great, great airplane. It flies at around 400 knots. The problem is they're old. They started them back in the late 70s, early 80s, and they're still making them sort of now with the Citation Excel, et cetera. But they're different planes now. So these are older airplanes. I think the last one was created in the early 90s, I think. And so the reality is that these planes have to have a lot of maintenance. And it was heavy fog. I don't know what happened to him. All I know is he came in and crashed. San Diego's Murphy Canyon neighborhood around 3:47 a.m. during a period of dense fog. I don't know if he ran out of fuel, Austin, because the fireball was so huge. A lot of fuel got burned.
Yeah.
Or if he had an instrument failure, or if he thought he was on approach and he came in too low with the dense fog.
Fog's sketchy, man. I've been with you playing for when you start getting that low fog, it's really sketchy.
Well, I was flying into St. Louis a couple of years ago, and I was not flying. I was on a passenger jet, a commercial jet. And we came in, and you couldn't see anything. It was soup. I mean, it was like clouds. And suddenly, we start coming down. We get about 40 feet, and there's the runway. I couldn't see anything until we were 40 feet. He touched full instrument approach. And, that's sketchy as all get out. Because if you have an instrument that fails on a full instrument approach, it could have happened on this plane. You think you're somewhere that you're not. Because the plane is flying itself until you see the runway, and you take control. So it's kind of a weird situation when you read something like this, because I didn't hear anything about the air traffic control people saying anything or having a kind of mayday come in. But my deepest condolences to the people who were on that aircraft. I have no idea how many people were on it. What an absolute mess. But again, if you're flying small planes and you're a pilot, you know as well as I do, it is extremely dangerous and requires tremendous amount of mental acuity. You got to be really, really careful. Remember Payne Stewart a few years ago, Austin, about 20 years ago? He was flying the plane, lost pressure, didn't know it. Everybody passed out. Finally, the plane ended up crashing. A horrible story with Payne Stewart. So be careful on small aircraft, just like you need to be careful on big aircraft. Just like right now in Newark, they've had their fourth outage now, Austin.
Gosh.
Their fourth outage. And now the FAA, supposedly, since they haven't done anything yet, is coming in and saying, we've got to do something about this problem with Newark, New Jersey. And, the sad part about it is you think, well, why in the world can't they just come in and fix this? Here's why. Because this person who goes in and becomes an air traffic controller person, it is a highly technical position. And the guy goes on, the guy says, I was alone on shift when the Newark air traffic control went dark. Well, wait. An anonymous worker has been signed off with trauma since power went out, and she sat there alone, unable to see the planes. It's only a matter of time before tragedy strikes, she says. By herself, 39-year-old New Yorker was the only air traffic controller on duty. It must have been in the middle of the night. For Newark Liberty International Airport when the system blacked out on May the 9th, leaving planes stranded in the air for 90 seconds. The incident was one of multiple blackouts that have hit the airport and left her so traumatized she is on leave. Speaking in detail for the first time but anonymously for fear of criticism from the members of the public, she tells the Times how her worst nightmare unfolded and why she is worried this is just the beginning of the crisis at America's second busiest. I didn't know it was America's second busiest airport, Austin, Newark.
I don't think that's accurate.
That's New York.
LAX and JFK and everything.
Well, I don't know. Just before 4 a.m., as I said, middle of the night on May the 9th, I was sitting at my desk at air traffic control for Newark, the only operator on deck. It was my last late shift of the week, and I felt tired but tried to remain alert. Then the unthinkable happened. Suddenly, all my frequencies cut out. Then my radar scope went dark, and I could no longer see the dozens of planes that had dotted my screen seconds earlier. I had no way of tracking where any of the four aircraft I had been speaking to were, and I had no means to reach them. And I said, oh, no, I thought, it's happening again. Now, I understand how she feels right now, because one time I was flying up to North Carolina, and I was just past Douglasville. Austin was with me, and we're flying the airplane, the Cessna 210. I'm pilot in command. I have Sharon in the right seat. Austin's in the back. And all of a sudden, my instruments go black. I lost all power because my alternator failed, my battery failed, and I'm flying. And the plane had its own magneto, so it continued to fly, but I had no instruments at all. It is a really weird feeling, Austin, especially when you're in charge of four aircraft in the air that have passengers in them.
Yeah. That's
I can imagine she got traumatized. And what I did, we had the iPad on because I always use a secondary source of power and backup as far as my navigation. And I looked at Sharon and I said, I need the closest airport. She says, well, that's Douglas. And so we went back and we turned, took the proper heading. and I circled and I had to pump the landing gear down because it's electric. I did this happened on with me personally. This is not something I read about. So I know what it feels like to have those instruments go black. It's a very strange thing. So, you know, it traumatized her because now she's in charge of all these people, all of their lives, and now she's on a leave of absence. Newark is an absolute disgrace as an airport. It really, really is. And quite frankly, something needs to be done. Somebody needs to go in there and completely revamp that system. Donald Trump personally needs to get involved in this, Austin.
Yeah.
Because I remember that ice rink couldn't get fixed in New York City. You probably don't remember this. Back in the 80s, 90s. They had all these contractors come in. They couldn't fix the ice rink. You've skated on the ice rink before. And what happened is he finally came in and said, I've had enough of this. He came in. He said, got the contractors in. Had to fix it within a couple of weeks. It had been gone for years. No ice rink. And he had to fix it immediately. That's the problem when you have bureaucracy because of the Peter principle. As you increase layers of management, you don't get the what you say up here doesn't get down here. It doesn't do it. You got to go up here and you got to forget all this middle level management and come down here and say, fix this. And that was needs to be done in Newark. Someone needs to come in there and replace that equipment. And if they can't replace the equipment and maintain an active runway in that area safely, they need to shut that airport down. Period. Yeah, and they need to, because you got New York Kennedy, you got LaGuardia, right? They're beside it. Send everything into New York and LaGuardia. Send them somewhere else. Get that stinking airport fixed before we have a tragedy, we have a mid-air collision, or a bunch of people die up there. That's my opinion, Austin. What do you think?
That horrible incident already happened up there.
It was right up there already, yeah.
Yeah, with that
with the helicopter. Black Hawk. Well, again, was that DEI? We don't know.
That whole thing, more stuff came out now saying that the pilot, that female pilot, completely ignored everybody on comms, was ignoring everybody as they were telling them.
She sketched out.
Yeah.
And see, here's the problem. When you fly an airplane, you have to have the mental ability. I remember Austin looked at me that day. We had the landing, and I'm just flying the plane. And I remember I had a guy who was a friend of mine. Became a friend. He was one of my instructors. His name was Galen. He had like 30,000 hours in, I think, with a major airline. And I remember he always told me, he goes, no matter what happens in this airplane, no matter what you do, you fly the plane. It doesn't matter if you lose your power. Now you're flying a glider. It doesn't matter what happens. You fly the airplane. You don't panic. And I remember Austin was joking with me later. He goes, man, you were like Iceman up there, Dad. You didn't even think about it. I said, well, I was trained to have an emergency landing like that multiple times. We had multiple emergency landings in training. So to me, it was like, oh, I've already done all this. And because you have to have that mindset. But if you're in a helicopter and you're in the military and you don't have that mindset and you can't listen to air traffic control telling you what to do and you ignore them, there's going to be a tragedy, which is exactly what happened. She killed herself and everybody else involved. So it's
67 people.
No, they all died because we had some idiot flying a helicopter. I'm sorry, she's an idiot. And she was not trained properly, and she did not have the proper mental ability to do that. You have to be able to maintain. You can't start screaming and jumping up and down and yelling and say, oh, my God, I don't know what to do.
There's
you can't do that.
Coming.
No, you can't do that. You've got to take evasive action. You've got to do what you've got to do. You can't. You've got to, like Galen always said, fly the plane. Just fly it, no matter what happens. And I remember that happened when we had the power go out. I remember Galen. I heard Galen in my ear. Just fly the plane, Ted. It's no big deal. Just go land. And I did. And I'll never forget, the FAA contacted me. I told you the story. And they wanted to know why, you know, I wasn't dead. It was the weirdest conversation I've ever had. We want to know. We never get to talk to pilots because they're always dead. We want to know why you're alive and how you landed this thing with an emergency situation. That's what you have to have. That's why I love these guys that are 50, 60 years old, who have flown for 30 and 40 years, who have 30,000 hours, but they're forced to retire at 65 with the FAA. Stupidity. It really is. They should, as long as they pass competency exams, they should be allowed to continue to fly that plane because their experience cannot be replicated, Austin, with somebody who has 2 or 3 years of flying.
Take it a step further. You got guys with that much experience, and suddenly you're being terminated if you don't take an experimental COVID shot.
There you go.
But I'm perfectly healthy. I've already gotten COVID. I've got natural immunity. Doesn't matter. You're terminated unless you get the shot. Okay, so I've done this my entire career. I've got tens of thousands of hours. Doesn't matter. You're not getting a shot. You don't get to fly.
Unbelievable.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
And those guys were having heart attacks during the flight. Remember that?
Yeah. Talking heart attacks.
Well, I mean, it's unreal when you stop to see this. But that 90-second blackout, you say, well, it's only 90 seconds. Let me say something about a jet.
A lot happens. A lot of stuff.
You're flying around 400 or 500 miles. Well, now, if you're close to the airport, you'll be flying that fast. You'll be flying probably at about 160 knots. But that's still close to 200 miles an hour. A lot of stuff happens at 200 miles an hour. Very, very quickly.
Speaking of other crazy stuff now, the USDA, they have just been on a roll. I'm not saying that certain things shouldn't get recalled, but these guys, they're just out of control sometimes. They're recalling almost 10,000 pounds of ready-to-eat chicken. And New Jersey snack-based Mania Brazilian Delight Core is having to pull almost 10,000 pounds of ready-to-eat frozen chicken products from the market because the items were manufactured without the benefit of federal inspection on that product.
Nothing's wrong with
anybody
it.
Anybody get sick?
No, no.
They test positive for anything?
No.
Coli?
Test? No, no.
It had without the benefit of federal inspection. I mean, the federal inspection, they did not go and check that specific batch. It says the items were sent to Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. And again, okay, if the USDA feels like this is a big issue and they want to recall it, okay. Why haven't we called the COVID shot yet? Why are we still approving it? Why are we still going, oh, everything's safe and effective with it. Let's roll it out, a gene therapy shot. But yet chicken product gets recalled because it didn't have the benefit of having a federal inspection on that specific batch. Crazy stuff. Also, this is the USDA, on top of that, they approved Nebraska's banning soda and energy drinks from food stamps. This has been a very controversial topic for many years. They've basically gone in now and said that they're going to stop the SNAP program from being able to purchase soda and energy drinks in Nebraska. Prior to the waiver, SNAP recipients could buy anything except alcohol, tobacco, hot foods, and personal care products. Now they're going to ban soda and energy drinks. I've always been one that I didn't really understand why SNAP program and food stamps are able to buy soda. They're actually the number one purchased item, by the way, of food stamps.
Unbelievable.
I've never understood that as far as if you have somebody that's trying to get food to survive and they need government support, I got it. Some people are going through some hard stuff. Sometimes they need support. Make sure they have access to just basically decent food. Why are you buying soda? There is no nutritional value of soda. The only thing it does is contribute basically cavities and diabetes. That's it. There's no positive upside of soda. So why in the world is that the number one purchased item? Again, I've always thought there needs to be restrictions on that. It needs to be basic main food staples if people need support and basically need food, Dad. What do you think?
I think if a person wants to buy that kind of stuff, you have to ask yourself a question. You know, why in the world are they getting food stamps to start
with?
That's
kind of my thing. I mean,
yeah.
It's like,
you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's just, this is not okay. I mean, you know, you got to realize, you know, that, you know, if you have a problem with this, you know, you're basically you're probably going to be obese anyhow. And I've seen that so many times, and you're going to be giving this stuff to your children. Well, what the heck's that all about? I mean, we have an obesity epidemic with our children in the United States. Why don't you buy them some good food? Get them some whole grain bread that's organic, that doesn't have glyphosate in it. Shoot, if the doggone dairy, or if they have dairy products, they're like raw certified milk, state certified,
organic peanut butter jelly, something. Staple food,
but high fructose corn syrup. I mean, are you kidding me with the sodas? I agree with this. I don't think cigarettes or junk food should be allowed, including candy and all the rest. I need this one lady also. This is mind boggling. Okay, she had a horrible problem with alcoholism.
Yeah.
Okay. She went through a clinic and she got rid of the alcoholism. She got better. But alcoholics invariably have hypoglycemia.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that in case you have any problems with alcohol yourself. And what ended up happening is she ended up in a situation where she was craving sugar constantly. And she bought those Lifesavers, you know, those little mints, little things. And she'd buy them by the bucket.
Oh, yeah. The big, like, the value packet. Yeah.
No. They were like in a bucket. You know, and she would sit there, and that's all she would eat all day are Lifesavers by the bucket.
Eating one Lifesavers,
whatever,
hurt you.
Well, it's got a lot of artificial dyes in it, too.
Get those white ones,
and she had a problem with ADD. And so she was diagnosed with ADD. She'd been placed on Ritalin, and now she's eating a bucket of Lifesavers. And, of course, she gains 50, 60, 80 pounds. And you know, and now her nutrition goes to the pot. And then her ADD gets worse because all the red dyes and the blue dyes and all the colors. And she starts making really bad decisions. I mean, I've seen this stuff over and over and over again. It's like people go out and they're doing laughing gas. That's the new thing now. They like to do laughing gas. They like to take a balloon or get laughing gas or whatever.
Oh, well,
nitric oxide.
Yeah, I know. Okay?
And now another, a glamorous bartender, according to Daily Mail, who's 29 years old, is left paralyzed after part of her brain has died following the habit, followed by 13 million people in the United States use laughing gas on an ongoing basis to get high on. You're like, what the heck are you talking about? Nitric oxide, guys. I mean, it's got all kinds of... Now her brain has been damaged.
It's functional at a dentist's office. There's reasons for it, the reason why they have it. But sitting around, you know, whiffing on it all day, that's not really a good look.
Well, you know, and some of the side effects include fever, chills, hives, wheezing, difficult breathing. I mean, if you're pregnant, don't ever touch it, it says. If you have a problem with mental conditions, don't ever touch it. If you have a problem with substance abuse, don't ever touch it. If you have a B12 deficiency, don't ever touch it. So if you're a vegetarian, don't touch it. If you've had any kind of respiratory illness, it says don't touch it. Because all of these side effects, headaches, vomiting, nausea, shivering, fatigue, brain damage, irritation of the nose, eyes, throat, wheezing, coughing, choking, seizures, rapid heart rate, psychosis, hallucinations, doesn't sound like something I really want to do on a regular basis. If ever, what do you think, son?
I had it one time in the dentist office.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, with your wisdom teeth.
Yeah, yeah. It puts you in a funk. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, you're kind of like whatever. You don't really care. But doing that on a regular basis, I kind of feel like it would be unfunctional. I mean, they could just run around all day.
Sylvester Stallone in that one, that show Tulsa.
Yes.
I watched the first season. He basically wanted to capture that market. The bikers were running around, and they were buying these tanks. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I never knew really that was being used like that until I watched that series for the first season.
Yeah.
I thought myself, by the way, he did a great job on that series.
He's funny. I still like him in Rambo.
Well, the thing about Sylvester Stallone is he doesn't need the money. He's worth like $500 million, but I like the fact that he stays current because, you know, he's like 78 years old now.
He still trains pretty hard.
Yeah, I know he does, but what I loved about that one guy, they were just busting his chops. He'd gotten out of jail. He walked up to him just cold cocking.
I remember that. Yeah, at the beginning. It was funny.
I'm not advocating violence in any way, but I'm saying I liked it when he did that because that guy was being really rude to him, and that guy was a made mafia dude.
Right, he'd been in prison for like 25 years or something.
And he was a made mafia guy. He said, well, I want Sylvester Stallone killed now because he did this. He goes, well, Sylvester Stallone's made mafia too. We don't know what to do here. You shouldn't have disrespected him either. But never mind. What's your next story, Austin?
This daily omega-3 supplements may slow down aging and reduce premature frailty now.
Oh, yeah, and vitamin D does that too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Omega-3 fats found in fish and supplementation. Researchers from Harvard University and Switzerland University in Zurich determined now that essentially omega-3 fatty acids can lessen the effects of aging. One of the tests conducted by the researchers showed that combining omega-3 with vitamin D and exercise was found to work better in slowing down the effects of aging in older adults, according to the paper.
There you go, combined with vitamin D.
Pretty cool here. Yeah, and it says at the same time, their study found that vitamin D, exercise, and omega-3 had the largest effect on lowering the risk of cancer over a 3-year period. Now, I'm not making this claim. This is what Harvard University in Zurich found on here now. Exercise, vitamin D, and omega-3 had the largest effect on lowering the risk of cancer, according to them, on a 3-year period. That's a pretty big deal, and there's a reason why we tell you guys to keep your vitamin D3 up, along with your omega-3 fats. It said the participants consumed 2,000 IUs of D3 each day, which isn't a bad dose.
That's not a bad dose.
1 gram of omega-3 a day, and did a home exercise program for 30 minutes 3 times a week. And
sounds like a pretty healthy lifestyle to me.
They said basically massively slowed down the biological aging over three years across several clocks with an added protective aspect from cancer is what they claim here in this research study. This is from Harvard Zurich.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Joe Rogan.
What's he up to?
The guy who loves to watch our show. I don't know that. I'm just kidding. Is going to church now.
Is he?
Yeah. The nation's most famous podcaster is now attending church. Christian commentator Wesley Huff has said, Joe Rogan has openly questioned the universe, the meaning of life, and other big questions, and according to Huff, he has begun attending church. This comes amid a resurgence of Christianity and church attendance after decades of decline. Why is there a resurgence of Christianity? Because people are looking for answers that are real. Period. I can tell you for a fact that he's attending church and that he has been a consistent thing, Huff said. It has been specifically among the younger generations that Christianity and conservatives has making a huge comeback. Huff, who was on the Rogan show a few months back, said Rogan and I have had off and on communication since then. I can tell you for a fact he's attending church and that he's been a consistent church goer. So I kind of like that. I'm not sure which church he's going to. Hope it's a good one. But the reality is I'm really happy that Joe Rogan is doing that and starting to realize that we are not alone in the universe, and some Big Bang thing that may have happened, you may call it a Big Bang, when God created the heavens and the earth, is not something that was left to chance. And there's no way that we're here with our kidney function like it is, just one organ in the body, and it happened by chance. No. We're pretty advanced. We're an amazing species is what we are because we're creating the image of God Almighty. And to me, I absolutely love it, and I'm glad Joe Rogan's doing this.
You know, it's pretty cool, though. His platform is so big. If he starts promoting Christ on his show, my gosh, that's going to have a big footprint.
But will the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan that controls this advertising budget, will they allow him
to
do so?
The thing about it is he has made so much money now, he doesn't really have to rely on them as much anymore. He's got some big cash that's coming over the last couple of years.
But he has a platform that may be terminated.
That is true. But again, he's got enough cash flow to pull his own, don't show up. Everybody's going to follow him wherever he goes.
That's true. You know, unless he has a non-compete that he signed.
I don't know. I don't know the
base. So, I mean, so no, these guys cover the
base. But no, you're right. They do a lot of this stuff.
Well, no, because they don't want him going out using his name. That's all what happened with Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
They saw what happened with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. No, if they get your likeness and name and all that, and they have that in a contract, all of a sudden you can't promote yourself.
That's a problem.
That's a big one. They do that in the music industry all the time. Mm-hmm. Also, young singers.
You think you got this great deal. You got a horrible deal.
You own the rights to none of the songs, none of the albums, nothing.
Oh, by the way, Trump actually rubbed the South African president's nose in the truth.
I saw that.
Well, no.
It kind of need to be done. This rhetoric that's getting spewed down there in South Africa has gotten out of control.
Well, no, they hate white people. They really, and now, don't get me wrong, apartheid was there for a long time, and apartheid was bad. It really was. The problem was that South Africa had one of the highest standards of living in the world because of all the raw materials and minerals and diamonds they have down there.
All the exports, man.
Oh, and they had areas that were so opulent, it made New York City look like a dump. And the problem was is that the blacks didn't have a vote. And now that they were the minority, now they're the majority, but they weren't allowed to vote. Now they're the majority. They could do whatever they want to do to the white folk that supposedly suppressed them for all those years. And I know that what happened down there was horrible and it shouldn't have happened, but now they're killing white farmers and taking their land away from them. And Donald Trump's had enough of it. Trump makes the South African president watch a video evidence of the threats to white farmers. President Donald Trump's meeting Wednesday with South African President Cyril Ramaphosa began cordially, but when Ramaphosa protested against claims of genocide, Trump turned on the TV.
Yeah, I saw that.
The video showed radical leader Julius Malema and other black political figures addressing rallies, chatting slogans such as "Kill the farmer" and "Shoot to kill." The video also showed threats to seize white-owned farmland and a large memorial to murdered farmers featuring over 1,000 crosses along the roadside. Ramaphosa had begun by avoiding the issue, saying instead that he wanted to focus on trade, investment, and efforts to promote peace around the world. It was South African journalists in the room who demanded that Trump answer for the claims about genocide and his refugee policy while white Afrikaners. Ramaphosa said that Trump should hear directly from South Africans and pointed to three white South Africans who had been brought with him, including golfers. And he said, "Now, but you guys need to watch this. It's pretty intense, and it's very, very true." That's why so many people from South Africa have left South Africa when we were New Zealand. Remember that, Austin? We're in New Zealand, and because it was another crown colony like South Africa was, many of the white people had basically left South Africa and had come to New Zealand. In fact, it was kind of interesting. We're sitting there, and some girls going through our luggage. For some reason, they picked us to basically tear our entire – I mean, all the check-in bags had to be opened up and, you know, with underwear everywhere. It was ridiculous. Sharon was so embarrassed. And I'll never forget, the girl's name was Brower.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, it was awesome.
My last name. And find out she was from northern Germany.
Yep.
Same place that my parents were from. And I thought to myself, you know, I looked at her, I laughed, and I said, you know, we're probably relatives.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, we probably are. But that was kind of funny. But she had fled South Africa because of the violence against whites. And that's sad because the very thing that they accused the whites of, which the whites did, now they're doing back to the whites. People say, well, that's what you get. It's karma. Wait a minute. Two wrongs don't make a right. It doesn't work that way. Not in the Bible, anyhow. All you do is end up making people mad and everyone wants to kill each other. It's horrible. That's not the way Christians operate. And so when I see stuff like this, I'm glad Trump called this guy out on this. And now it was done on a national stage, Austin. So maybe this do-nothing president, who obviously doesn't want to do anything to try to rock the boat there because they're afraid they'll do a coup d'etat against him, yeah. I guess, take him out back and hang him. I'm not being facetious. They could probably do that there. The place is pretty much out of control. I know when I, years ago, we went on a safari, Sharon and I did. Probably one of the best vacations we ever took. And, you know, we were choosing between Kenya and we were choosing between South Africa. And we were going to fly into Johannesburg. Yeah. And I remember they warned us to get security personnel with you at all times.
Yeah. Yes,
they had cars that they had set up with flamethrowers on the side of the cars. I kid you not. So in case you were trying to be car abducted, you could hit the switch and throw flames out to try to burn the people trying to attack you. That's how dangerous Johannesburg is. Now, whether they're still like that or not, I don't know. It's been 20 years ago. But the reality is, Kenya, we were warned by our State Department not to go there either because of the bombings, et cetera, et cetera. But Kenya was fine, except for like 99% of the population of Nairobi has AIDS. Isn't that crazy, Austin?
That's a lot.
And they're handling your food and everything else. That's a bit odd. So you got to be real careful when you go on vacations like that, especially to third world countries. But Kenya has some beautiful areas, some beautiful great animals. Now, whether they still have that or not after all these years, I don't know. But it was interesting. We actually got on a hot air balloon. It was great. And we flew over the Masai Mara, the Serengeti. And we were 50 feet above the ground. And we were watching lions chase zebras for breakfast. I mean, it was unbelievable. And what a trip that was. What do you got going here? Oh, what do you got? Oh, yeah, there it is. Flamethrowers. Look at that. Look at this.
Golly.
Yes, in case you think we make this up, that's all. You know.
South Africa flamethrowing device to combat carjacking.
Yeah.
This guy's trip. That's actually legit. You weren't joking.
No, I wasn't joking.
Look at that, dude. I mean, that's a pretty big deterrent.
Yeah.
I mean, golly.
We're going to burn you alive if you try to carjack us. Unbelievable.
Apparently, it's legal down there, too. It's legal to put those on your car.
Well, it's legal to kill white people in South Africa. Just take them out back and shoot them.
It's kind of a free-for-all down there.
Well, I know why so many people have left. You know what's so funny? You get these TV, these evangelists. They leave South Africa and come to the United States to evangelize America. They need to evangelize South Africa. This place is awful down there. Instead of fleeing their own country and coming up here.
Elon Musk from South Africa, isn't he?
I think he is. So,
yeah.
But I know several TV evangelists from South Africa, and they all come to the United States because they can. I guess they can. No, I'm not going to say anything else. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm done.
You get yourself in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. I was pulling this article up here. Let me pull it up real quick here. It says now, Senate report exposes how federal health officials downplayed the COVID vaccine risk and failed to warn the public. The report issued yesterday by the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations revealed previously redacted information from government records recently obtained by subpoena from the Freedom of Information Act. This is crazy, guys. I wanted to cover this story today. So according to the U.S. Senate report issued by the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, record shows U.S. Department of Health and Services, HHS again, under Biden, issued formal warning to the American public despite a safety signal that the COVID vaccine could cause myocarditis and pericarditis in young people. The committee will hold a hearing entitled The Corruption of Science and Federal Health Agencies. They basically looked at this here and they said U.S. health officials knew about the risk of myocarditis in trials. Officials downplayed the health concerns and U.S. health agencies delayed informing the public about the risk of the adverse event and rolled the shot out anyways. 2,400 pages of documents obtained by the subpoena. This is crazy. This, again, Children's Health Defense was involved in this and pulled a lot of this stuff out now. So not only were health officials informed that myocarditis was a very common side effect with the RNA COVID shot, they downplayed it, said it was safe and effective, and then delayed anybody knowing about it. Because you remember when it happened.
Unbelievable.
People would come down with pericarditis. Teenagers were getting pericarditis after the shot. And they went, no, this is uncommon. We have no idea what's happening. We can't figure out what's happening. We have no idea why. How does this happen? 2,400 pages now shows they knew about it way in advance.
Well, pericarditis is not a joke, bud.
No, it's not.
Myocarditis is not a joke.
Really bad.
You die from this stuff. And they knew it was doing this to kids, and they didn't care.
The CDC knew there was a safety signal for myocarditis more than 3 months before warning the public it was even a threat.
Well, they didn't want to. They waited 3 months because they wanted more people getting shot up.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And the problem is the COVID shot didn't protect against COVID, Austin. That's the irony here.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. And you know, my shot won't work unless you take your shot. Okay. No, they knew it.
The first time in history, immunizations didn't work unless you got your shot. I'm like, well, it's not immunization. Then. It's not a vaccine.
Okay.
But yeah, but this is a big story. So we'll be following this. I highly doubt anything's going to happen over
it. It won't.
They're going to talk about it. Fauci's going to live on his private island, probably with Epstein.
Ooh, did I just say that? Yeah, Brian. Well, they still fit together. They look alike.
Yeah. Hey, he's not going to be indicted, I guarantee you. That's why he got a blanket pardon right before Biden stepped out. So
they both have giant noses, so I guess they get free air. Unless they have their noses changed because of surgery.
Well, did you see the FBI now? The FBI director came out and said, oh, Epstein definitely killed himself. We looked at the documentation. He definitely killed himself.
No,
I'm like, okay. Now we know you're lying about it.
First of all, you got a bed that's 5 feet tall. Okay, Jeff Epstein was 6 feet tall, so he's going to hang himself on a 5 foot tall bed. Well, no. What's going to happen is you're going to be hanging yourself, and you're going to stand up because you want to breathe.
Well, you're not going to. Your body won't let you do it.
No, it won't do it.
Eventually,
no.
It's going to find a way to get up.
It's like you're holding your breath underwater. You're going
to
try to get up.
Yeah. Eventually, your body's going to respond.
By the way, leftist school board member rages. How much prayer do you need? I'm like, what? A left-wing school board member in North Carolina, surprising too, but they're getting very liberal up there, especially around Asheville, exploded in rage when a fellow member made a motion to start a meeting with a prayer.
Oh, my gosh.
How much prayer do you need? Said Pam Escobar, a member of the Cabar
School Board. How many obnoxious women do we need in the committee? We should have asked her that.
And she goes, this. She goes, how much God do you need?
A lot.
Melanie Freeman, a newcomer of the school board, told me it's important to start meetings by seeking God's wisdom. She ran for office by declaring her faith in God, and she was determined to resignate that at a pre-meeting prayer. I knew there would be I knew there would be resistance, because anytime you put something back that somebody has taken out, the struggle is much harder, she said.
Right.
Escobar blasted the Republicans on the school board for daring to bring up God. They didn't come here to pray with you, she said, referring to the school employees. If you want to pray with them, take them to church. If you want to be an evangelical, do that. But go for it. But not on my time, not on their time, and not on this community's time. We're not in that business. This is not the time for this place. I don't know why you need prayer to take this job seriously.
That's her quote?
Mm-hmm. Escobar, former television news anchor, seethed with anger and rage and yelled, no, when the final vote was held. The motion passed overwhelmingly. Freeman says she has absolutely no regrets about asking for prayer to be reinstated. She goes, I'm not a chicken, and so I don't want to have time to mess around. And quite honest, our children have been waiting for a long time for somebody to get in there and care about what the trends in our education are doing. How much prayer do you need? She's got to pitch a little fit, I almost said a bad word, and basically make a big deal because somebody wants to pray around her. Well, here's how I look at that, you miserable lesbian. Probably, maybe, you are. Butch Dyke, perhaps, who knows? I don't care. Why are you on here trying to tell these children and their parents what they can and can't do in time?
She's an elected official.
You're an elected official. You have no right to say that.
She works for the public.
I mean, if they want to vote to have prayer back in this meeting, they have the right to do that, and you don't have the right to sit there. Just vote no. If they vote it, you just go, no, no. But you have to rage against God and against Christ and everything else. Okay, are you a complete atheist? Are you from another faith? I don't know, but the point is, I find you absolutely
disgusting. You know what I do find interesting is that if somebody would have walked up and they would have been Muslim, or if they would have been Jewish and they would have prayed, she wouldn't have said anything about it.
Not a word.
It's because they were Christian.
I remember years ago I had a friend of mine, and they were asked to pray. And she's a Christian. And they were asked to pray, you know, at a conference. And they were told they could not use in Jesus' name. That was not something they were going to allow, and that's not something they were going to do. And sadly, you think, you know, this is ridiculous that people feel this way. In fact, but you realize the confusion of this. A new song has just come out in Christianity. Now, listen to me. A lot of the songs that have come out recently are really good. A lot of them last 10 years are good. But when you get the Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan involved in writing songs in Christian churches, you better watch out for what the lyrics say.
There you go.
And now here it goes. No idea what we're doing. New worship song makes waves with bold embrace of theological confusion. Now, this is unbelievable. You won't believe the lyrics on this. He goes, God bless the Christian. God bless the atheist. God bless the Muslim. God bless the rest of us. We've got no idea what we're doing. Let all of our friends and all of our enemies and all of our children, all of our families, we've got no idea what we're doing. Whoa, those are the lyrics.
That's the lyrics of the song?
Yeah, and let me say something to you guys. If you're going to sing stuff like this in a church, you need to figure out what Christianity is and why you're there to do it. Because if you say this stuff, no, it doesn't say anything about the Jew. They won't bring that in. That's why this whole thing is suspect to me. You know, we got the Muslims, we got the atheists, but never mention the Jews. Okay, because we can't do that. So who wrote this song? Where did these lyrics come? I remember one time there was a song that came out. They were singing to the spirits of darkness. Remember that song?
Yeah.
And I said, what the heck are you guys doing? This is awful. You know, why are you singing to this? I mean, who's putting this stuff out there? And, you know, and a pastor friend of mine said this. He said it so succinctly. I love this guy. Will not mention his name. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what I should pray, my pastor said. But what I want to pray is, Father, rip their tongues out, and may they never be able to teach their false doctrine again.
Gosh. That's getting precatory, though.
Well, but this is a friend of mine who's a pastor. I thought, but he's a real cool dude. And I thought, I'll repeat him again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what I should pray. But what I want to pray is, Father, rip their tongues out, and may they never be able to teach their false doctrine again. Well, maybe not. If you say Father, maybe they never be able to teach a false doctrine again. That'd be okay. That wouldn't be imprecatory. But ripping their tongues out—that's
pretty imprecatory.
That's pretty imprecatory.
Yeah.
That's pretty
I'm not going to recommend praying that.
He didn't say.
He is funny though.
He didn't say it from the pulpit. He said it to me personally. I know him extremely well.
Yeah.
But I get a kick out of all that, because when you stop and you look at it, you think to yourself, wow, this can't be real. They can't be singing stuff like this. But they are, because they don't understand what Christianity is. If people understood what Christianity is and what it can do and the power of prayer and who Jesus is, it would change the entire fabric of time space, and we could change the entire world. That's a fact, because Christianity has been so watered down, people don't even know what they believe anymore. So you can't sing something like that and believe it and claim to be a Christian. You know, why would you ask? You could ask God to help convert the atheists, convert the Muslims, convert the Jews, but you don't need to put that in song form. You don't do that. That's why I like a lot of the old spiritual songs that we sing in the Lutheran church, because some of them are kind of boring, to be honest with you, but a lot of them are really, really good. If you listen to the words that are in them, they really make sense, and they really glorify God all of the time. And so I like the consistency of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, some of the Lutheran churches are too liberal. I wouldn't recommend them. It has to be Missouri Synod. But always remember, put God first, everything in your life. Remember, Jesus is always the answer, for he's the creator of the universe, and through him all things are possible. Always remember who Jesus is. And if we have a life like that, and we have a Christ-centered life, it changes everything that we do. It does. It changes everything, because then you start thinking about what you do before you do it, so that you don't affect people in a negative way. Now, am I perfect with that? No. Sometimes I say things and horrible things on this show that probably affect people in a negative way. Is that something I should be happy with? Well, no. But a lot of times I do it out of humor, which, should I be doing that? Probably not, but I do anyhow, because I'm trying to bring you some type of value on the show that's funny a little bit, so we can bring you some of this horrible news without having to go, "Oh, this is horrible. I don't want to hear about this anymore." And that's why I show you the cat picture. I know it's an awful cat picture, but I think it's unbelievably funny. But the little kitten picture, Austin is right, it's a lot cuter.
So, I try to make stuff light sometimes. My humor is really dark. I try to make it
is that one movie, Don't Look Up?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I forgot that black guy's name. Perry, I think. What is his name? The guy who's he's that one comedian.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, you're talking about the guy.
Yeah. He's so funny. Leonardo DiCaprio. And then the girl starts screaming about the end of the world, and they show the cat picture.
Yeah.
That's where the picture came from. And the black guy looks at him and goes, "Well, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to use a little bit of sugar to make the medicine go down, and we're trying to make this a little bit lighter." And see, sometimes we have to do that on this show, too, because the material sometimes gets kind of dark, and we don't want to talk about that. Now, if we do, we found out that you guys don't like to watch the show all the way through. You kind of turn off the middle.
Well, that's why I try to bring you guys a lot of health news, a lot of world news, a lot of sometimes funny news, stuff that you together here. And then one last story, the B vitamins, the B complex.
This is
Brain's natural repair kit. I actually talked about this article
See the problem, though?
No, those are tablets.
Those are tablets. You don't want that. You want to have powder and capsule.
I was going to see if I got a bottle over here. But yeah, no, this is what you don't want. This is a reference photo they have, but it goes into detail about how B vitamins are extremely important to repair the body's nervous system, and deficiencies lead to slow degeneration of proper brain function. This is why the B complex is so important. And one of the reasons why we constantly recommend that is it's water-soluble. B vitamins do not stay in the body long. They're flushed out. So you got to keep your body constantly loaded up with B vitamins. That's one of the reasons why we have the B-complex formula. It's such high doses of methylated. And one of the articles that Harrison wrote said, "Why are health masters B vitamins different?" This is a great article if you want to do a really short read on it, and it talks about the reasoning behind the B-complex that we have, and it breaks down the exact ingredient list in detail and talks about the form of B vitamins chosen were the reason why we did it, because of the quality that they have in it. So again, be sure to check that out on the website. You can also go to all types of different articles that we have at Team Health Masters, including the one that we just put out recently on creatine, which is still a pretty good one that I've enjoyed. A lot of people have been buying this and giving me good feedback on it. Creatine unlocking fuel cells and elevating cognitive performance.
I take two of those every night before I go to bed.
I take three before workout.
I tell you what, I had to get up at about 4 o'clock for a minute, but I usually sleep right through the night with that stuff. It's great.
It's pretty good.
It's good stuff.
It gets you strong too. It gives you a wicked pump in the gym.
It does give you a good pump in the gym.
It gives you a real good pump. So again, guys, we're trying to bring you guys the latest news and the highest quality supplements. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us.
With a little bit of humor.
Team Health Masters with a little bit of humor. And be sure to check out the latest episodes on here and sign up for the weekly newsletter. She constantly get updates on the Brower Show.
Scroll that down again. Wait. From kitten rescues to AIs.
Oh, that was the one where he was in the wall. We didn't know what was behind the wall.
So the cat gets on two of our lead stories here.
Hey, man. I mean, we did a good deed.
Hey, I need some help from you cat people. We got a bunch of holes in the wall we got to get fixed.
Hey,
We appreciate support, my friends. Y'all have a blessed, safe, awesome evening.
Look at this way. You trade a cat for some vitamins.
Yeah.
That's fair, isn't it?
You can live with yourself now, right?
I can live with myself. That little black one was so cute that he's laying on the thing and he just jumps up sort of, and then he calmed right down. Now, the other one, that tomcat, that's what mean little boy.
He's pretty wild, yeah.
He's pretty wild. Good luck with trying to domesticate. Oh, yeah. They're going to a good home.
You guys have a fantastic evening, my friends. I appreciate y'all.
Should I say they're going to a good home, wink, wink? Should I do that or not?
No, they really are.
Okay. I'm not involved with the cat relocation. I love you guys. Remember, prayer changes things. Always remember, Jesus is the answer. I love you. Have a great evening, and we will talk to you.